really, really old, or y'all were. Okay. I know they're old, but I thought they were oldie but goldies. They're oldies, but they're not goldies. The gold is gone off of them. Get your Bible out. get your Bible out. Oldie moldies. There you go. Get your Bible out. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Here's an oldie goldie that is a goldie. Luke chapter 2. Stand for the reading of the word. You got your Bible, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. Luke chapter 2. Let's just go ahead and start at verse 4. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, which unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, God, and you are on your throne. And God, even in some of the roughest things, Lord, the stuff all the world's going through, and these storms that ran up through Louisiana, Mississippi, and all those places, all up, God, all the way up, and the storms even went past us last night. I ask you, Lord, right now, God, to touch all those people that were so violently hit by this storm. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us all with losses in our life. God, you know what to do and how to do it, and we trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Way down, look at somebody and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. If you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Amen, amen, amen. God is so, so good to us. Amen. So, so good to us. Okay. Now, we started last week, and I'm going to do a couple of the slides from last week just so we have some continuity, but then I'm going straight in to this week. This actually could be a three-weeker or a four-week sermon. I'm not going to do it. I did part of it last week, and I'll do the rest of it today. But I want you to pay attention, because we sometimes, when we hear all this stuff, she laid him in swaddling clothes and then laid him in a manger. Sometimes we just get lost in all this, and we've heard it so much that we become enamored to what's going on. And we need to understand that everything that happened at his birth, every single thing, had spiritual significance. There was nothing that happened that did not happen without spiritual significance. So now, just a couple from last week, just so we can get some continuity. All right. Of course, how many know? We kept saying if once 2021 gets here, things are going to get better. No, it hadn't. They keep getting worse. Amen. The life as we know, this has been a very, you can fill in the blank. This year, life has been turned upside down, inside out. What is right is called wrong. What is wrong is called right. But if you look back 221 years ago, life for Mary and Joseph was turned upside down, inside out. What was right was called wrong, and what was wrong was called right. So this isn't the first time this has happened. We're not the only ones ever gone through it. You know, how many times you get going through something and begin to think, honestly, that nobody's ever been through what you've been through? You ever been there? I have. And when you honestly get a chance to, that's what's actually what has helped me a lot of times through my problems is pastoring and counseling. I get to talk to people all the time that are going through things, and And it helps me understand that I'm not the only one that's had these strange things happen in their life. But remember this, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I promise you, as you can see, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But we've got a promise that God's got us. He's got our back. So I believe that 2021 is a beginning. It's a setup. It's prophetic. Bigger things to come. And we're going to be talking about Revelation. We'll go back to Revelation in January. And you're going to see these things as they're coming to pass right before us. And 2,021 years ago was the beginning. It was a setup. It was prophetic of bigger things to come. That little bitty manger became a very powerful symbol all over the world for eternity. For eternity, not just for 2,021 years, but for eternity. Okay? So here we go. This is the last from last week, but I just want you to see it. We're talking about more than a manger. When you think of Christmas, how often do you think you're connected to Easter? Remember this, it's a 6-mile journey between the manger and the cross. Just 6 miles. This journey is also the story of Jesus and his incarnation. From his birth to his life, it always pointed to his death. And the manger itself was a setup for us to understand that bigger things were coming. If you look at the manger, you're going to see connections. And when you see these connections, it's going to be very, very, very powerful. So pay careful attention as you watch this now. So here it is. No vacancy. There was no room in the inn. And of course, let's look at the comparison from the manger to the cross. There was no room. It was crowded there because people had come to be taxed. It was dreaded. There was a lot of bad attitudes going on there. But still, God was in control because he knew he needed Jesus at that place at that time to fulfill prophecy. So again, the cross, Luke 22, there's no room. It's crowded there because everybody's following the Passover celebration. Now, this has got good attitudes. But still, even though things were looking good, bad stuff was getting ready to happen, and God was still in control. Let me ask you a question. Let me just pause for a minute. Have you ever felt crowded in by your circumstance? Have you ever felt like, you know, when we talk about pressure and we talk about things that we're going through, actually, if you really think about it, we're actually being crowded in by the pressure of things around us. It pushes us and pushes us and pushes us, and it causes all kinds of things to happen. It causes medically, physically, mentally, emotionally, that push, that squeeze. When that squeeze takes place, you begin to think there's going to be an answer for what you're going through. But the truth is, when you're feeling crowded in or crowded out, know this, that God's at work in your life. So if you're feeling crowded in or crowded out of whatever, it may be a relationship, or it may be crowded in or crowded out of on your job, or crowded in and crowded out in your community, know this, that when you're feeling that push, when you're feeling that pressure, God's up to something. Okay? Don't look at it as God has left you. Look at it as God is working with you. And that pressure that you're under is not sent to destroy you, but to mold you and to shape you into what God wants you to be. So there's that. Now, let's look again between the manger and the cross. Ready? The comparisons. The Bible says there was no room for him in the inn, so it said he laid him in the manger. So again, it was a stable, but we think about this great old big wooden stable, really nice. More than likely, it was a cave. And so you got a damp cave, okay? And it's not even theirs. They had to borrow the use of that stable in order for his wife to give birth. You see, they had no way, but God made a way when it looked like there was no way. The same way, when Jesus died on the cross, they put him in a borrowed tomb, again, in a cave. They had no way, but God made a way where there was no way. And again, I got to stop and talk to us right now. How many here, you got, and you need to hear this, how many here have come to your wits' end with certain things in your life, and you can't understand why you're going through it? You can't understand why God would allow you to get to this point where it seems like there is no way. It'll never be fixed. It'll never work out. God has just totally taken his hand off of it, and it feels like you've been left alone. I'm here to tell you something. If you can trust God and trust him ultimately, just like with these two caves, he made a way where there was no way. So don't try to tell God how you want him to fix it. Trust him to make a way where there is no way. And if you can trust him, it's amazing what will happen. So then, let's keep on going. We're just describing some of the stuff that's happening at the manger scene and connecting it with the cross. Okay, again, if you look at the manger, it was made of broken wood. It was broken wood. It was put together to carry out a common task, to dispense broken food to the animals. Okay, I want you to think about that now. So now, here's Jesus. He's helpless. The creator of all the earth, all and everything, the creator of everything, now is helpless and is in the hands of others. All right? So look, also his back is upon that broken wood. People didn't realize what a precious gift he was. On the cross is made of broken wood. It was made to carry out a common task, and it was to dispense a broken body. Wow, do you see the similarities of what's going on here? And on the cross, Jesus was helpless. The creator of the universe was helpless in the hand of others. His back is upon the wood. But what a precious gift. Again, let me stop, talk about us. I know it sounds strange, but God has used brokenness. How many know I can look backwards and you can think about the times that you were broken, but God used your brokenness to heal you? Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? God used your brokenness to heal you. The same way, there's broken things in your life. How many's got broken things in your life right now? You got things that are broken, and you wish you knew how to put them back together. You wish you knew how to fix this. And God says, take your hand off of it. Trust me, because I can take broken things, and I can make things like you never could imagine if you'll just trust me. And Jesus, in his birth and in his death, it was there that broken things were used to show us that God can turn things totally around. Now, again, we're going to still talk about baby Jesus and things at the manger, swaddling clothes, at the cross, grave clothes. Now, although I want you to see something here, because there's all kinds of arguments about this, and that's fine. I'm not here to argue any kind of theological debate. I'm just here to tell you. The swaddling clothes, although the Greek word for swaddling clothes is different than the linen strips, because the linen strips at the grave are of a higher quality. That's where people get all bent out of shape, that the linens used for Jesus as a baby wasn't as nice as the linens they used at his grave. Don't get caught up in minor details that you lose the major message. Linen strips. The linen strips were used for the baby. Here it is. Watch this now. Get ready. They were there to bring comfort to the baby, because the baby, we didn't have incubators. They didn't have any way to protect this baby. So when the baby was small, they used the linen strips. They wrapped it around the baby. It was they didn't use it for long. They would throw them away and use more later. But it brought comfort to the baby, because he felt the tightness like he did in his mother's womb. And at the graveside, it's the same thing. They wrapped them in grave clothes, but they went later and they made sure this grave, that this body was put on limestone. And what they wanted to do is they wanted the body on this limestone to go ahead and disintegrate. And when it disintegrated, they would take the bones of the person that had died. I know this might be gross to some of y'all, but they take the bones of the person that died and they put it in a bone box. And if you went inside of a tomb, there was many people in that family that had been put in that tomb. But as they disintegrated, they put their bones in a bone box. And so if you walked in the tomb, you would see bone box, there's granddad. Bone box, there's grandma. Bone box, there's dad. Bone box, there's aunt, whoever. Because that's how they did it. So they wanted you to go on back. So again, both of these linen strips were temporary. Both of them. It was a one-time use. And it would soon be empty. The same way with grave clothes. It was a one-time use. And they would soon be empty. So again, you see the cross, you see the manger, you see all how all these things work together. And so as you look at the linen strips, to me, the linen strips kind of they are a signal to me that Jesus was born to die. The linen strips at his birth, the linen strips at his death, he was born to die, and God was going to fulfill it. Even if things seemed to be falling apart, he was born already with a death sentence. Let me tell you something. That was his purpose. I'm going to tell you this. You were born with a purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled if you allow God to take all the crazy things in your life and put it together and build something smart out of it. Let him take all the hurt in your life and heal it. Let him take all the broken pieces in your life and put it back together the way he wants it. He is the potter. We are the clay. God, have at it. Whatever you want me to do and however you want me to do it, show me, God, in order that I can fulfill your will. Now just keep on going. We're talking about the manger scene. Now ready? The star. It was a dependable guide. It was high. It was lifted up. It pointed to God this way, and it pointed to God this way. Darkness could not hide it. It only made it brighter, and it gave hope. Now, if you look at the cross, the dependable guide, because the cross is high and lifted up, it points to God. And darkness could not hide it. It only made it brighter. It gave hope. Let's stop again for us. How many here have been through something lately? The reason that you're still here today is because it wasn't meant to take you out. It was meant to promote you. Wow. What you're going through today may seem hard, it may seem harsh, but I promise you, it may seem hard and it may seem harsh, but it gets your eyes off of you and gets your eyes on Him. And when it gets your eyes on Him, He's going to do something. And others are going to watch you, and they're going to gain strength when they see how you handle what you're going through. So it's very important that you realize God's letting you go through things sometimes so you can be that dependable guide for Him. Getting ready to close. Here it comes. One more thing. The angels, they announced. They went to uncommon people, or common people, with an uncommon message. To start with, it brought fear, but then it became joy. He is here. Jesus is here. Common people spread that uncommon message. On the cross, common people had an uncommon message. It brought fear, but then it became joy. He is not here. He has risen. Common people spread an uncommon message. Now, I was watching the Weather Channel last night, and I got angry with one of the guys. He was at the site of one of the tornadoes. And I know he was trying. I know he was trying to bring comfort to the people. They had no power. They were using generators. And he was up. And he just started talking. And he said, just know that these people didn't die in vain. And the more he talked, I was working on this message, and my wife was sitting there, and I looked up and I said, Lord, just shut him up. You just lost your dad, you lost your mom, you lost your wife, you lost your kids, you lost your house, you lost your job, you lost everything, and he's going to go up here in his earthly mindset. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? I wonder if it had been his mom or dad or his job or his house or his people. Would he be talking the way he's talking? And I said, God, please send somebody there to talk to these people that brings comfort and hope. The manger does that. You see, listen carefully. Jesus didn't come in the form of man to take away your pain. He came in the form of man to share your pain. Wow. One more time. Jesus didn't come as a man, actually a child and grew up as a man and then died. He didn't do that to take away your pain. He did that to share your pain. And as he shares our pain, to show us how and to help us bear the cross that we would face in our own lives. Everybody in here has got a cross that you're facing. Every last one of you got a cross that you're carrying. Everybody in here has problems. And you know what? The person with the biggest problem will be the person that thinks they have no problem. Every last one of us have problems. But Jesus came to help us understand, to help us bear that cross that we would face. Just as 2021 years ago, a picture of things to come. 2021 is likewise a picture of things to come. I'm getting ready to close. It became a symbol of hope in life, the manger. The cross became a symbol of hope in life from your beginning to your end. Before I write this last one, put this last piece at the bottom. I was walking through Walmart yesterday. And there was a person that Bethany had worked with. And it hit me. I walked away from him. I spoke to him. He's older than I am. Him and Bethany had talks. And he said, Bethany, I've even seen him a couple of days ago. And he said how Bethany had been a blessing to him. And after I talked to him yesterday, I went walking away and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go give him your Team Bethany, God's Got This bracelet. And I said, yes, Lord. And so I went back to him and honestly, I thought he'd had one. I really did. So I walked up to him. He was working in sporting goods. And I walked over to him and I showed him this. I said, we were talking about Bethany yesterday. He said, yep. I said, did we ever show you this? Have you got one of these? And he said, what is it? And I showed him. And as soon as I saw Team Bethany, he says, I don't know what that is. I said, that was her cancer team, Team Bethany. I said, but the whole time she was going through that cancer, even to her death, she said, God's got this. And he got real quiet. And I said, I know that if Bethany was here, she'd want you to have one. I took it right off my arm and I put it on his, and he tried to say thank you and he couldn't even get thank out. So I just walked away, I smiled and walked away, and I said, God's got this. Bethlehem, Calvary, shows us that God's got this. God's got this. Y'all, let's everybody stand. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the rights of sons. Just as the manger and the cross, God was with them. Your time is coming too. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many here today would say, Pastor, I let a lot of things come in between me and God because I felt like I was getting the raw end of the deal. I felt like I was not being treated right. I felt like I was just your stepchild instead of your child. And God, I just really, really let it draw me away from you, push me away instead of draw you to you. And now I realize, looking at Calvary and looking at the manger and looking at the cross, that you're at work in my life also. And I thank you, God. Help me now to draw closer, and instead of pushing away, to draw closer to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, like you got the raw end of the deal many times, you felt like you were done unjustly, never realizing that's how God works. He lets, in this situation, God uses this to build you and actually to comfort you, believe it or not, and to see His hand in your life. If you're here today and you would say, I let it push me away, I need it to draw me back, with nobody looking around, every head bowed, just slip that hand quick and say, I need God to help me get back in there right with Him, to take care of business, to be drawn to Him instead of pushed away from Him. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him. Bless Him. Maybe you're here today and you and God are okay, but at this moment, you're feeling a heavy burden. Actually, you might even feel like your back's against that wood right now. And you're wondering, when will the pain end? I can promise you, it will end. But from the very beginning of your life to the very end, God is with you. And God is taking care of you. If you're just needing God to give you that good old shot in the arm, so to speak, a spiritual shot in the arm, that booster shot to help you get through the rough times you've been through lately, nobody looking around, will you just slip that hand up? I need God just to shore me up, to let me feel some power. Let me feel His hand. Let me know that everything's okay. Bless Him, bless Him, bless Him, bless Him, bless Him. Let's all pray together. Ready? Father, we love You. We praise Your name. We realize that although life seems to fall apart at times, ultimately, when You step in, You'll put it back together, and it's going to be awesome. I ask You right now, Lord, to help me to dedicate myself stronger to You and to be used of You more powerful than ever, in the name of Jesus. And we thank You for it. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Brother Wayne, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?